The title of today's talk is Shehecheyonu, chosen because we are now in the 3 weeks and there are some interesting questions arising on the subject, but I would like to deal with the concept in general terms before we come to the topic of the 3 weeks. The Bracha of Shehecheyonu, it's recited both on festivals but also on significant occasions in one's calendar or one's life, expresses thanks to Hashem for letting us live to that time, Shehecheyonu v'Kiyumonu v'Hagiyonu, that we have reached this particular time to experience a particular event. The idea of expressing thanks to Hashem is more widespread than just the bracha of Shehecheyonu. One should always be expressing praise to Hashem. In fact, our davening is really praise and asking and thanking, three different parts. We're always praising. And when the Bnei Yisrael sang the Shira when they came out from Mitzrayim and they crossed the Yam Suf, that in itself was an expression of praise and thanks to Hashem. And there is in fact a mitzvah that anyone who's experienced the miracle, that they should regularly every year make a seuda to celebrate it, a seudas hador. I once walked into some friends in a yeshiva and there was somebody there making a seuda for something that had happened to him during the war, where he had escaped from the Nazis on a ship which was bound for Australia, and they were being chased by a Nazi boat, and the Nazis fired some sort of torpedo at their ship, and suddenly a huge wave came and threw their ship high in the air, and the torpedo passed underneath and the ship managed to reach Australia. And this fellow was making a seuda every single year because of this wonderful event that had happened. The idea of singing a shira, of singing thanks to Hashem, is an opportunity which should never be missed. It is written that Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda, who was a wonderful king and who enhanced Torah learning and who helped Klal Yisrael beat the enemy in war, Sancheriv and so on, he made a mistake. He made a mistake because when he had won the war, he failed to sing a shira. And had he sung a shira, Chazal say, Mashiach would have come there and then. So when we say Shehecheyonu, it's a very shortened form of saying our thanks and singing our shira to Hashem. And when we say Shehecheyonu, it's not only on certain events which are prescribed to us in the calendar, like with Shofar, and with Lulav, and with Sukkah, and with Ner Chanukah, but also personal, individual events which happen just to ourselves. Even those events which might seem very mundane and materialistic. Who would therefore think that when they buy a dishwasher, they should make Shehecheyonu? Says with Kelim Chadoshim, it gives you Simchas Halev, it gives you a feeling of rejoicing, or maybe it's giving your wife the feeling of rejoicing. And if it's giving both you and your wife a feeling of rejoicing, then there is a mitzvah actually to say the bracha of Hatova Hametiv, because then it's not only for yourself, but it's for other people as well. And I'd like to look briefly at some of those ideas, and then we're going to come into the idea of the 3 weeks, 9 days and so on. The Torah says, Hashem says, Kadoshim tear you, you shall be holy. And Rashi says, Kadesh atzmacha, you shall be holy, of course, when you come to shul and you lay tefillin and you make kavios in learning. Yeah, all this is wonderful and makes one holy. But when the Torah says you shall be holy, Rashi explains it's talking about the mundane things of life you make yourself holy with. Kadesh atzmacha b'ma shemutalach means those things which are allowed to you. So, we know that when you enjoy a new fruit which has come into season, you make Shehecheyonu. A person should not go through one's life but Olam Hazeh without benefiting from Hashem's wonderful and beautiful creations. So one enjoys a new fruit, one says Shehecheyonu. However, what if you're not happy about this new fruit? What if you don't really like it? Then you don't have to make Shehecheyonu. There is in fact an argument between some poskim as to when and where you make this bracha over a new fruit. Shulchan Aruch actually says, when you see a new fruit, you already make Shehecheyonu. But the Minhag HaOlam and the practice as developed by the Poskim is when you actually sit down to eat it. So the Shehecheyonu for your fruit is not really the same Shehecheyonu as the one for your shofar and your luluv and your sukkah. Why? Because that is prescribed as part of your calendar. What if for some reason you don't like to sit in the sukkah? Well, then you've got no mitzvah of sukkah. If you're mitzta'er, if you are troubled to sit in the sukkah, you don't have to sit in the sukkah if it's raining in. But let's say, nevertheless, you feel some element of discomfort about it, even though it is a valid and comfortable sukkah, you still have a din to make shechionu at the beginning of sukkahs. You've still got a din to make shechionu with shofar and Hanukkah and so on. What if you don't have the simchas halev, the rejoicing? Well, it's assumed that when you come to this new mitzvah, you have a renewed opportunity to serve God in a new way for that year, so you will feel happy at doing that mitzvah. But even if you don't, you will still say Shechionu. Whereas, the mitzvah of Shechionu with fruit, or with Kelim Chadoshim, is called Rishus. Rishus means you can. You don't have to. With those dinim of shofar and lulav, it's chovah, it is a duty. But with the din of the fruit, if you don't want to, okay, you don't have to. If you wish to make a personal expression of thanks to Hashem that you have reached this time in order to enjoy the new fruit, okay, you make shechionu. So the question is asked, what is this rishus? What is the category of this permission to make shechionu? Do we say it's only if you want to say it? Rishus velo chovah. And if you want to say it, you say it. If you don't want to say it, you don't say it. Or do we say no? That there is no duty to run after the fruit. That you don't actually have to go shopping specially to buy the red currants which have just come into season. But then, if you find it, then you must make the bracha of Shechionu. That's the second svara. The first svara is the one written by the Mishnah Berurah and the Magen Avraham and some others. That you make Shechionu only if you want to say Shechionu. Whereas the Birkei Yosef, the Rav Shulchan, Kafachaim and some others, they hold the second view. They say, look, there is no duty to run after the fruit. But if you happen to have the fruit in front of you, then you must make the bracha. The prevailing view as brought down by the Shalas and Shuvas, Shevet Halevi Chelek Dalad, and there he says in Siman Kafhei that we go by the first view. The first view is that you only say it if you want to say it. So even if you've got the fruit in front of you, but you don't like that fruit. You don't like red carrots because the pips get stuck in your teeth. Okay? You don't like gooseberries because they're a bit sour. You don't have to say shechion over it. You don't feel the simchas halev, this rejoicing. The whole condition of saying shechion is you feel glad about something. That is why it is brought down that there are some poskim who hold that you only make shechion on fruit when it's peiros eretz Yisrael. Those peiros which are beropior eitz, which come from the land of Israel, because that gives them a special feeling of benefit. Whereas if it's some other fruit which comes from somewhere else, not necessarily. On the other hand, the question is brought by the Sefer Birkas Hashem HaShelach, what about something like an avocado fruit? It's a fruit, but it's not like a sweet fruit you might consider putting in a fruit bowl. It's something you might rather put in a salty salad. So the post there says, yes, you do make Shechionu if it's new in season, you haven't had it for a long time. Because we really don't have a measure in Halacha as to how much joy one gets. Sometimes people get a big joy, sometimes people only get a little bit of joy. So we say we don't distinguish between a small amount of gladness and a large amount. If you've got the treat, oh, I haven't had an avocado for a long time, oh, this is great, you make Shechionu. However, there are fruits which you'll never make shechionu on. Fruits which are very common, even though they might come out from season to season, like apples or oranges, we don't make shechionu over. Because we're generally saying that people don't necessarily have a special simchas halev when they have them. The other problem is we don't always know whether the apple or orange you're getting is from the new crop or from the old crop. Especially here in England, we get fruit all round the year from different parts of the world. In Israel, there is a time lag between getting the old oranges and the new oranges, so you might feel the difference when it comes to the new season. But here, we get oranges the whole year round. Those fruits you'll not make shechionu. There are some poskim who never made, but not out of a dig, who never made shechionu on fruits, because they felt that we don't waste brachas. Sofek brachas lahokel. We don't want to make a bracha levatola, a wasted bracha. So we're not going out of our way to make extra brachas. And because there is a doubt whether one's really got this simchas halev, oh, I feel so happy, I'm eating a peach, you know. All right, big deal, you're eating a peach. So the Divrei Chaim of Zantz, he never made, it was his practice never to make a bracha of shekhiyonu on a fruit. But if there is joy, okay. There is also a difference between seeing the fruit and eating the fruit, as we indicated earlier. So the Kaf HaChaim says, look, when you see the fruit, there is a choice whether to make the bracha. But if you actually are eating it, you're bringing yourself to benefit from it directly, then you must make the bracha. Some say it goes according to the custom of the place. The Ben Ish Chai says, if it's the custom of the place to make shekhiyonu on that particular fruit, then you make it. But others, such as the Chasam Sofer, hold, no. It goes according to your own personal taste. How you, yourself, feel about that particular fruit. Says the Mishnah Berurah, in Siman Reish Kaf Hei, even though the fruit might be available at only certain times, and that even though that it's a reshus, you don't have to make the bracha, nevertheless, you should not ignore the mitzvah. He says, all right, you will say there is no punishment if I don't make shekhiyonu. But you shouldn't ignore it. It's a mitzvah. And you don't treat light mitzvahs lightly. And we'll come back to that idea later. And as we said with vegetables, the minhag is not to make at all on berpi adam on vegetables. Although those which are considered properly as fruit, like pineapples, there are some who have a minhag to make. The other common time we make the bracha of shekhiyonu is when we buy new clothes. Says the Shulchan Aruch a phrase which is quite striking. He says, "B'shas hakinyan," at the time that you buy new clothes, "Mabarak shekhiyonu." A lot of people seem to think that when you put the clothing on for the first time, then you make shekhiyonu. But it says in the Shulchan Aruch, "B'shas hakinyan," at the time when you're actually buying. So surely that means that when you're standing at the till in Marks and Spencer, and you're just about to give your credit card and sign it, you say, Baruch HaTov HaShem, get Shekhiyonu. Well, maybe the circumstances there are that you can't make a bracha. Maybe there are indecently dressed women around. But it does say, B'chas HaKinyon, you make the bracha. All right then. Okay, so you make the bracha. But what if you forget to make the bracha in the shop? You know, you're hurried and there's only 5 minutes left on your parking meter and you rush away. So you come to the car and you drive home and you then put the thing on. Can you still make Shekhiyonu? There is one opinion which says you can't anymore. And that's in the Siddur of the Baal HaTanya. He says that once you've left the shop, too late. You can't make the bracha of Shekhiyonu anymore. But all other poskim agree that you still can, as long as it's the first time that you're wearing it. And even if you've already put it on, but it's the first time you're wearing it, we will assume that there is still a simchas halev, a rejoicing. Therefore, you make the bracha still. Now, yes. Right, I was coming to that. What if the suit that you buy needs shatness testing, or you know, the trousers need shortening, or there's some other tikkun or repair needed? There the Mishnah Berurah himself says in the Shulchan Aruch Reishka Gimel that if you have to have some repair or tikkun done to the clothing, then you can't make shekhiyonu at all at the time you buy it, but you make it when you wear it for the first time. So invariably, the shekhiyonu will be making on a beged choshuv, on something important. You don't make shekhiyonu on a new shirt, say the poskim, or on a pair of shoes. You make it on beged choshuv. So, what kind of clothing do you make it on? I've got, in fact, a list in this sefer, Birkas Hashivah Shevach. He goes through different items of clothing where you might make shekhiyonu, where you won't. So, he says, believe it or not, he says chutza, which is a shirt. He says if you're happy with it and it's an expensive shirt, then you will make shekhiyonu. But most people, when they buy a shirt, they don't get the same degree of satisfaction out of it as they do if they're buying a suit or even just a pair of trousers. A raincoat, but not a plastic or nylon one, but a proper coat, he says you make shekhiyonu. Other kinds of coats. He asks about a new hat. Well, given how much some people pay for their borsellinos, that they will get simcha out of it, you make shekhiyonu. And he says those people who wear a shtraimel also make shekhiyonu. Well, given the amount they spend on it. Yes? Well, maybe it's because he wasn't charging you enough.
He makes a shekhiyonu when he sells it.
Yeah, I think, although this sefer brings down Yemei Shechun, I think the minhag of most people is not to for a new hat. And it's generally limited to a suit or a coat of some expensive nature. Yeah, nowadays, that's true. But if you buy a new talis, katalis gadol, you'll make a shechionu. And he says, even if a talis cotton made out of wool and you're very happy with it, you might make the bracha for that as well. Ah, that's an interesting one. B'shas ha-kinyan, what does kinyan mean? Does it mean kinyan kesef, when you pay for it? Or does it mean kinyan hagbo, when you're actually lifting it up? I haven't come across the question in the modern day literature. I think we can assume that you don't have a simchas halev. The criterion is, when do you get that feeling of rejoicing that you've bought it? Now, it might be true that you get simchas halev when you've paid for a holiday over the phone with a credit card and the flight's been booked, but when it's some clothing, I think it would be reasonable to suggest that the simchas halev is only when you've actually got it in your hand and you see it. And you've got to make sure it fits. I mean, you might have to try it on. Okay, yeah, a talis. But I think there, b'shas ha-kinyan will mean kinyan hagbor, when you've got it in your hands. Right, it's an interesting idea, because the idea of kinyan with a credit card is recognized by the poskim as a kinyan. For example, if a chosson goes to buy a wedding ring and he pays for it by a credit card, then the question is, does it really belong to him when he puts it on his bride's finger under the chuppah? Because if it doesn't belong to him, then they're not legally married. And that can create problems. The poskim say that if he has paid for it by credit card, it is his, because a credit card is then a loan from the bank. It's not that you've got it on hire purchase where it doesn't yet belong to you. It does belong to you, but you owe money to the bank for a loan. But I did once accompany a chosson on the day of his wedding, and I said to him, "Nu, where's the ring?" And this was an hour before he was due to go with me to the Kabbalah's Ponim. Oh, he found it. He said, "Here it is." I said, "Tell me something. Have you paid for it?" And he said, "Well, actually, the guy said, I don't really have to pay him yet. I owe him the money." I said, "Well, I think you should pay for it. You haven't done a kinyan on it." So I made him write out a check, actually, while he was getting changed for his chuppah. The interesting question is, some have the notion, which is brought down, in fact, by the Maharival, that if there is an item of clothing for which an animal had to die, and leather shoes might be an example of that, where the leather came from the animal, or a leather coat, or a fur coat came from the skin of an animal, then you will not say Shechionu, because an animal had to die for it. Contrasting with Bris Milah, where you don't make Shechionu, because we feel that the child had a little bit of pain, so we won't say the bracha. The Ramado frowns on that reason, and he says, no, if the shoes you have are really good, nice quality, and give you Simchas Halev, even if they come from an animal, you do make Shechionu over them. So, when else do we make Shechionu? Kelim Chadoshim. Kelim Chadoshim, then, is a very interesting idea, because do you make a Shechionu when you buy a new bicycle? Do you make a Shechionu when you buy a new microwave? Do you make Shechionu when you buy a new computer? And on this, the Sefer Birchas Hashiv HaShelach says yes. He says you make Shechionu for a new car, even if it's a second-hand car. But for you it's new, and you get Simchas Halev out of it. Well, it depends. If you only spent £100 on a banger for your 16-year-old child, then maybe you won't make Shechionu. But if you get if you get Simchas Halev, say it's a washing machine, or a dishwasher, or the cooker, a printer for a computer even says, or something relating to an expensive leather handbag or something like that, one makes Shechionu. So the Koskim asked, what about if you buy a cow for giving you milk? So we say, don't make Shechionu. Why? Because the cow might die straight away. Well, okay, the cow might get smashed up straight away, but with Ezra Sashem, you will not suffer that way. It says also that when you buy a new house, Shulchan Aruch says, you move into a new house, you make Shechionu. Some poskim are not too sure about this, because they're not sure about when you make the bracha. You can't make the bracha when you exchange contracts, because it's not yours yet. On completion, okay, you might not have moved in yet. By the time you've moved in, you're getting a lot of hassle, and you're not exactly feeling the simchas halev you have exchanged contracts, and therefore you might not make shechionu then. So the view which many poskim say is, well, when you're first day in your new house, sit down, get a new fruit, make shechiyonah on your new fruit, and have in mind the house. It's cheaper to buy the fruit, I tell you. Well, what about when you have a chasnut? You marry your dear new wife, you make shechiyonu, and you're doing a mitzvah. You do a mitzvah, you make shechiyonu every new wife. Of course I'm saying that you don't make shechiyonu. Why not? It's a filling. Why not? Well, there we have the view of mitzvahs lav lehanos nitnu. That although you're enjoying the mitzvah, the mitzvah is something you don't really have benefit from, because the mitzvah you do is for Hashem. When you're getting married, you're doing it because of the mitzvah. When you're buying your new tefillin, you're doing it because of the mitzvah of tefillin. So the general view there is you're not making the bracha of shechiyonu.
New furniture?
New furniture? Yes. This is furniture. Well, he says, he talks about kitchen. Pardon? Yes. If other people benefit as well, especially if your wife, your children are benefiting as well, then you say Hatova Hamesiv. That's a new baby. There's a discussion between the boss. The posk in that, boy or girl, but you'll make a hotel on meeting of Shechiyonu. Well, Bar Mitzvah, there is another bracha of Baruch Shepatrani, and there's an argument between Achronim about Shema Malchus and so on. But yes, we don't make Shechiyonu. The minhag's not to make Shechiyonu, but it is befitting, he writes in this sefer, it is befitting that you make it on something else, having that in mind. We don't want to make brachas unnecessarily, and if there is an argument between the Acharonim, then we won't make the bracha. Now, pardon?
Why is not?
That's an interesting one. Talis is a beggar, tefillin is not. Pardon? A leather? Oh, yes, true. I haven't thought of that. I think the reason for talis is because it is given physical warmth as well when you're wearing it as a beged. A tefillin is not called a beged. I think that's the reason. Well, it's like this. When you hear good news, which affects you and other people, you make hatova hametiv. And there's no criterion whether how good is the news. If it makes you happy, you make Hatovah Meitiv. If something happens to you which is good news for you, you make Hatovah Meitiv. So if you pass a university degree with flying colours and you get the news, you say Shechiyonu. Well, you know, you remind me of one rabbi, one United Synagogue rabbi. He says, why is Sukkah called Zman Simchas Seinu, the time of rejoicing? Because he is sitting in the Sukkah and she's sitting in the house. But I wouldn't like to be quoted on this. Especially because it's not my experience, and therefore... But if anything nice happens to you which you feel happy about, you make Shechiyonu. You thank Hashem, because all the time we are communicating with Hashem and we feel close with Hashem. And we shouldn't forget the fact that however secular that reason might seem, like a degree in university or whatever it is, then you make Shechiyonu, you thank Hashem, because constantly we're thanking Hashem for all the chasodim which he's doing for us. There's an interesting question about wine. If you have a drink of wine, you make Brei Pi'agofen. Let's say there is already wine on the table over which you've made Brei Pi'agofen, and a new wine comes in, then you say a bracha of Hatovah Hametiv. You make a bracha, it's not very well known, but if it's a better wine which is brought in, you say Hatovah Hametiv. There's another interesting thing. If you haven't seen a friend of yours for 30 days, and it's a very good friend, and you have a great rejoicing when you see him, then you make Shechiyonu. It might look a bit weird when you come to a social event, an engagement, whatever it is, and you see somebody else, oh, Baruch Atah Hashem, and everyone's looking at you as if you're a bit cracked, but it's not. But it is the din, and a person should feel flattered when somebody says Shechiyonu when he is seen by somebody who hasn't seen him for a long time. You wonder what sort of favour he's going to ask from you. But if you've been in touch with that friend on the telephone, then that cancels out the 30 days. Why? Because we're saying you don't quite have the same degree of simcha when you see him than if you haven't seen him at all for those 30 days. So it would follow that if you received an email or fax from him as well, then you will not make the Shechiyonu after 30 days. If you haven't seen a friend for a whole year, and it's a very good friend, and you haven't been in touch with him, then you make the bracha Mechaye Hamesim. Why the Chaya HaMesif? Because you've gone through a whole year without think. You've gone through a whole year through a Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur when there was a Yom HaDin, and the person has survived a whole year without the trials and tribulations of death. Someone says, Mechaya Mason. Many poskim are saying, though, you would make Mechaya Mason without the shame and Malchus, because the way the Mishnah Berurah writes, there seems to be some leaning towards the idea that if it's not a bracha, which is clearly spelt out in Gemara, then we won't make the shame and Malchus. Now we come to the idea of the 3 weeks. And you've got a handout, and in that handout is an extract from Hilchos Tisha B'Av. And if you look down the Shulchan Aruch in the middle of the page, it says, Sif Yud Zayin, Tov Li Zaher, it's correct to be careful, not to Milom HaShechiyonu Bein HaMatzorim, not to say the Bruch of Shechiyonu in the 3 weeks, Al Peri Al Al Malbush, either on fruit or on new clothes, Aval Al Pidyon HaBen Omer. But if one has a Pidyon HaBen, which happens to fall within those 3 weeks, you say it. V'lo yach mitzvah mitzvah. You do not delay the mitzvah. When the mitzvah comes your way, mitzvah ba'al yachor, al tach mitzena. You don't let it turn into chometz. You do it. But what about fruit? Well, says the Ramah there, you can see in brackets in the small print, v'chein v'pri shelo yimtzo achat Tisha B'Av. If the fruit cannot be found after Tisha B'Av, because it's just now in the shops in the summer season, mutil avareich ulochla b'na mitzorim, then you may make the brocha and eat it during the 3 weeks. There is an argument then between the Acharonim as to whether you make Shechiyonu in the 3 weeks or not. The Arizal, known as the real leading mystic, says you don't make it at all in the 3 weeks. Let's now look at the Taz. The Taz is on the right-hand column, and most of you should find an ink blue line next to it on the right-hand side. Sif Kotan Yud Zayin. The Chaim Bepri Shelo Yitza. The Nira, and he says, and it appears the Mitam's there, because of this reason, the reason that you might not find it afterwards, Yesh lahatir b'chol yom, shebein ha-matzorim. There is a reason to say that every single day in the 3 weeks, you can say Shechiyonu. D'shemayomus adam kodem shekayim mitzvazu. Because maybe the person might die before he gets the opportunity to do this mitzvah. Now we're not wishing anything bad on anybody at all, and we're not wishing anyone to think that they might die before Tisha B'Av, but says this has, there is a svara. A svara means a possible logical view that a person might die. And a mitzvah comes your way, we don't want to delay it. Just like with Pidyon HaBen, lo yach mitzvah mitzvah. You shouldn't delay the mitzvah, it turns into chometz. So here, maybe you can make the bracha. B'shamati svara zu b'shem harav. Very Rav Yosef cuts me Krakow. And I've heard this svara from this Rav Yosef of Krakow. V'yesh ra'el azeh, and the proof of it is, from where? Masha Kosov Tospek Eilu Megalchin, this is in Mokom. Aviv Beis Yosef, which the Beis Yosef brings down, the Simon Tov Mentes, the Shori Lichtov Kol Dover Hashayach the Beis Din B'Chol HaMoed. The B'Chol HaMoed, a Beis Din, may write down anything which is relevant to a case which is under consideration. Now, skillful writing should not be done on B'Chol HaMoed. There are heterim about non-skillful writing, and when it's a Dover Ha'ovud, where it's a loss leading matter which, if delayed, will result in a loss, financial loss. So then there are certain circumstances one can do in a Chol HaMoed. So here there's a Beis Din, and the story is, well, why can't the Beis Din say, well, we're closed for Chol HaMoed, we're not working, we don't have to work this week, we haven't got a non-Jewish employer. So he says, nevertheless, they may write down things, the Hamid Dover Ovud. It's a Dover Ovud. Why is it Dover Ovud? Why can't they write it down next week after Yom Tov? Hen Yomus. That somebody who's crucial to the case, one of the litigants or the witnesses or one of the dayanim, might die. And therefore, we will make sure that it's written down on Chol HaMoed. And if it's on matters, on physical, personal matters, they were lenient, namely, to write down something for your personal benefit on Chol HaMoed in a court case, so therefore, for doing something ruchniostik, for doing something spiritual of making a bracha shechiyonu, all the more so. The makol shekain shemachashu zeh yomai l'kayim kol zman sheyucha l'kayim. If there's a chashash of this shema yomus, then one should rush to do the mitzvah. And then he brings down the Beis Yosef who's saying elsewhere that you can make shechiyonu on Shabbos. That is the minag olam, that we make in the 3 weeks Shechiyonu on Shabbos, but not during the week. Why not during the week? So the various poskim, the Chassam Sofer talks about this, and the Kasav Sofer talks about this, to say, Well, we're worried that a person might die, but within a week is not such a long time. More than a week we call a long time. That's the Svara. Chemed brings it down as well. But more than a week, okay, we say Shema Yomasa, but don't on Shabbos. And in any case, Shabbos is not a time of Avelos or Zeman Peronius, and therefore it's okay. And so this idea of Shema Yomus is brought down in another place in Hilchos Tarnis. In Hilchos Tarnis it talks about if a person makes a promise that he's going to fast. He's going to fast like for Teshuvah, so the Ikka is he can delay it till the winter, because in the winter the days are shorter, so he can cheat a little bit. Instead of fasting now in the month of June or July, when night is at 10:30, he can wait till November, December, and he can get away with it at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Says the Magen Avraham, hey, wait a minute. He says, this is not in order. If a person is taking upon himself to fast because of Teshuvah, Shema Yomus, he might die before the winter. So if he pushes off his fast, it's wrong to do so, because then he'll lose out. And therefore, he should do the fast straight away. And so the principle of Shema Yomus applies immediately. Also, it's written that an Ovel, a person who is in mourning, is allowed to say Shechionu. He hasn't got to wait till his mourning period is over in order to make it. He can make it straight away. So that means that when a mitzvah comes your way, al tach mitzeno, we don't delay it. And there's a very interesting moral idea which comes out of this. Because when we're learning about the 3 weeks, okay, it's an avelos, it's an peronios, it's not a nice time, so we don't make shechionu, we do make shechionu. But what lesson comes out from this din, or this svara of Shema Yomus from the Taz? I think it's something amazing. We said yesterday in Perkei Avos, in the second peret, don't regard a light mitzvah lightly. Mitzvah kalo kechamura, she'en yodeh matam tzcharon shel mitzvahs. We don't know what the reward is for mitzvahs. We know, from what we discussed at the beginning of today's shiur, that the whole mitzvah of saying a brach of shechiyonu is just a rishus. You can if you want to, you don't have to if you don't want to. To just see a fruit, or to make the brach when it's shechiyonu, you don't have to. It's not something you've got to rush to do. The Svara and the Minag Olam is quite clear cut on this. It's if you want to, it's a personal thing. You've got Simchas Aleid, okay, you make it. And on that the Taz says, Shema Yomus, we're worried the person might die and he'll lose out on the mitzvah. Do it straight away. Do what straight away? Something which is just reshus. How much more so a mitzvah which is a chovah, such as Kiddush Levona or one of these things. A mitzvah comes your way, you've lost it. You've lost it if you miss the chance, especially in a cloudy area. I remember in 1981 we had the bracha, the Birkas HaChama. Once every 28 years we make the bracha, Shechionu, on the sun. We make the bracha April 1981, we're going to do it again I think in about 2009 on Erev Pesach. And on that day in 1981 there were some really eager diehards who had been waiting 28 years to say this bracha, because the sun had completed its cycle, and they got up to daven with a sunrise minyan, and immediately they went to Hampstead Heath, and there it was in all its glory, the sun was coming up, and they made the bracha. Other people who said, well, I davened with my usual minyan at 7:15 or whatever it was, and they davened and then they came outside, and it happened here that everyone went out into the school playground and it was completely cloudy and there was no sun, and they had to say it without the shame of Malchus. Oh gosh, I've got to now wait another 28 years to say it. So the whole principle of mitzvah by Yodach al tach mitzeno is an idea which doesn't just relate to Shechionu, but all the more so it applies to those mitzvahs we have to do. Once the opportunity comes, we don't delay it. When it comes to Kriyas Shema Tefillah, oh, I'll first go to the airport, I'll first do this, I'll first do that, there's a late minyan at Reb Chunas. That is not the hashkofa which comes to us from these halachas. And that's a very interesting lesson we learn. And hopefully this is the last period of the 3 weeks we shall ever have, because by next year we won't have to be in a period of mourning. Mashiach should soon come. Amen. Thank you.